step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
Hey everyone, it's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for less. And for a limited time, new customers receive their second month free when they sign up and use promo code MONTHFREE by May 31st. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Taxes, fees, and other third-party charges will apply. See website for additional details.
With every CBD product claiming to do something different, it's nearly impossible to decide what's best for you. Lazarus Naturals pioneered the farm-to-front-door model of transparency where they handle each step of the production process to ensure quality, potency, and consistency. Scannable labels allow you to see the test results of your hemp batch so you can be confident in the safety and quality. Visit LazarusNaturals.com today. Lazarus Naturals, committed to improving your life as well as the world around you. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota.
You can work from the road while turning your vehicle into a powerful high-speed data Wi-Fi hotspot with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi on a network that covers more roads than any other carrier. Connect up to 10 devices and stream conference calls, finish up that presentation, or answer last-minute emails. Go to att.com/in-car Wi-Fi to see if you're eligible for a free trial today. Based on independent third-party data, always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
We're on from 1 to 4 every day now, and after 4 o'clock, you can hear us on the same iHeartRadio app, the podcast.
Yeah.
John and Ken on Demand is what it's called. So listen there and just listen continuously for all day, every day, for the rest of your life.
All right, in 15 minutes, another keyword will be revealed, so you'll have a shot at $1,000 in the KFI Cash Refill Contest. The Antifa people are back. Looks like they took a couple of years off, but they've been making appearances in Atlanta and Boston. We're going to talk about what happened in Atlanta because it got really crazy. And they're going to tell you who the main suspects are arrested to give you a pretty good idea who these people are. And, of course, they come from very privileged households.
Spoiled rich kids was the New York Post headline. And we've been talking about that for years. All these Antifa protesters come from wealthy families. And this is some kind of twisted psychological rebellion against their idiot parents.
Yeah, it is. It's a case of parent versus child and the usual backlash that children have against their parents being carried out when they're older and in a much more public way. So we'll tell you all about this coming up later.
So the worst agency in Los Angeles, one of the worst agencies in the nation, is the Los Angeles Homeless Services Authority. They are supposed to be ridding the LA area of homelessness, and we've given them billions of dollars to do so, and you've seen what's happened. Well, they got another new head that's been hired, Valisha Adams-Kellum. And she's well known in the Venice area because she used to be the director of the St. Joseph Center, which is one of those outreach organizations. And you could see things did not go well in Venice either. So there are a lot of people in Venice saying, well, what the hell are you talking about? We've already dealt with this woman for years and her organization failed us. And now you're putting her in charge of the LA Homeless Association.
She's been running that Venice nonprofit since 2008, and they were given $5 million in the summer of 2021 to get those people off the oceanfront walk in Venice. We're going to talk now to Mark Rajevec, president of the Venice Stakeholders Association, composing a letter to the El Segundo Times about the reasons that this was not a good pick, and he's very familiar with this woman.
Mark, welcome. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. Thanks much for asking me on, and Happy New Year to the two of you.
Thank you. Well, tell us about Valisha Adams-Kellum and St. Joseph Center, and what's your experience with her and that organization?
Well first of all, I want to say that I have some regard for Valisha. She's clearly bright, professional, well-educated, but she's been a grand disappointment for those of us here who've been concerned about the huge homeless load that Venice has been carrying. And she's been there for 15 years, and during that time, she was not a good neighbor. She was not responsive. There must have been several hundred times where residents would call up St. Joseph's, who has a contract to attempt to help this population, and be told to call the police. Someone could be having a psychotic meltdown in your front yard. She has counselors that are supposed to treat with this audience, and for 15 years, the answer was call the police, not sure, we'll send one of our counselors out to engage that person, to create a profile on that person, to work with them over a period of time, to call in the County Department of Mental Health and their psychiatrist, and to get them into psychiatric care. But we would get no engagement. And it really was flabbergasting that they were the one that was getting the county money from Lhasa to treat with, at one point, supposedly, over 2,000 homeless people in our community, and we could not get any engagement. We couldn't get Felicia to acknowledge that's what her organization was being paid to do. And there are also other examples that really raise the question of whether she should be taking on even more professional responsibilities, which come from a failed organization like Lhasa, which has gotten, as you point out, billions of dollars, and all we have seen is the problem has grown almost exponentially. Her organization is under a city mandate that was tied to their building permit that, because of where it was located, it was going to attract homeless people. Their organization was supposed to send out cleaning crews in the immediate adjacent alleys and streets every day to clean up human feces and bedding and trash and food waste, and they basically would not respond for years. And the other problem that we experienced was that while we acknowledge she and her team did a fabulous job at moving 213 people off the boardwalk and cleaning it up, she left 50 people, and I was out there today, I counted 43 that are still on the boardwalk, and those were the real problem cases. They are either very mentally ill or very addicted. And I saw them. They're out there talking to themselves, wandering around barefoot, not properly clothed. And she walked away and left them as though they weren't even there. And it was really astonishing. So many of us question her appointment at this point to lead the organization that's responsible for funding all of these efforts across the county.
Why do you think she walks away and leaves the last 43 behind to suffer like that?
Because they are very difficult to deal with, and they are the ones that are the most severely mentally ill. They are not service resistant, not just service resistant, they're housing resistant. Some of them can't even conceptualize. They're not mentally present, and they need a concerted team of a counselor from St. Joseph who is on their case every day, working with them, building the trust, bringing in county mental health, and working to get them conceivably into some kind of a psychiatric facility. And it's like, it's too difficult, so we'll just walk away and declare victory. We got 213, and we'll just leave these people out there to their own devices and as a real problem for the residents. I mean, there's a whole group of these folks right now camped on the side of a large senior center on Ozone, right on the boardwalk. And every night, they're zombies, and they're screaming, they're making noise, and inflicting their anguish about being in that kind of setting on the seniors who are living in the Saffron Center right there on Ozone on the boardwalk. And again, her offices, the St. Joseph Center, is like four blocks away. And yet they have never taken responsibility to be present all the time to help clean up their own backyard and help people that are in such dire circumstances get the help they need.
Why do you think
I don't know how she's going to do it when she has not a responsibility for the 2,000 in Venice, or there were in Venice. She's now responsible for the 60,000 that are in the county of Los Angeles.
Why do you think she got picked then?
Because she can point to those 213 that, remember, when they when the pandemic started, the Garcetti and Bonin and the rest of the city council misread the CDC advice. It wasn't a law. It was just a guidance that wherever you find homeless people, you leave them, you don't move them, because you risk spreading COVID. When in reality, most of these people moved in from somewhere else to the boardwalk. And so they already violated the COVID guidelines. But Garcetti and Bonin stopped any enforcement. And so that for 3 years, we went from 50 homeless people in and around the boardwalk up to 260 or 70. And I credit her that given the funding and the mandate that she did, in fact, play a critical role in cleaning up the boardwalk. And then more recently, it was her team and I think some others. I think people helping, assisting the homeless path, maybe some LASA counselors came in with Bass, with Tracy Park, our new council person, and for the first time in 12 years, completely cleared and housed anybody who wanted it off of the sort of ground zero, third and Rose, Hampton, right there by Google.
12 years.
And Sunset, right by Google. And I think that you can point to a model that works. And the trouble is that Bass is going to have to change her posture about imposing on these areas that are cleared that nobody can come back and allow the police to keep it clear. We need to regain areas and keep the pressure on people, particularly the housing-resistant folks, who actually don't want to go into housing. And unless they're given some pressure to accept housing, shelter, family reunification, a tiny house, all the options that are now available, they're going to continue to choose to stay outside.
All right, Mark, thank you very much for coming on the show and sharing your thoughts on this new appointment. We appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
All right, that's Mark Ryavec. He's president of the Venice Stakeholders Association and, of course, a longtime resident of Venice. On the appointment of a woman by Karen Bass and the county to head the Los Angeles Homeless Services Agency, which is the worst. By the way, this job pays $430,000 a year.
More than the president.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a racket. It's absolutely a complete racket.
So Mark has some questions as to whether or not she'll be effective. And, of course, they're starting their homeless count tonight. More coming up, including a keyword for you to possibly win money. John and Ken, KFI AM 640, live everywhere, the iHeartRadio app. All right, we'll be talking about the rich, spoiled, snotty people who were arrested in Atlanta for causing another Antifa riot. We'll tell you who they are and their backgrounds, because it should tell you all you know about that movement. Also, coming up later on the show, we'll check in with Alex Stone, ABC News for KFI, for the latest in the Monterey Park shooting and then last night's shooting at a couple of mushroom farms up in the Half Moon Bay area of California. Same description, an older Asian man opened fire, and it looks like a case of anger in the workplace. Alex will fill us in after the news at 3 o'clock. We were just talking to Mark Ryavec from the Venice Stakeholders Association. It looks like they're going to continue the architects of failure, as former L.A. County Sheriff Alex Villanueva talked about, in that they're naming a woman to to head up LASA, the Los Angeles Homeless Services Agency, who comes from one of these nonprofits, this one out of Santa Monica, which we have labeled part of the homeless industrial complex. They take in many millions of dollars and show little results. And, you know, you go back to that situation with the boardwalk. It was when Sheriff V went in there and started making a scene over the homeless on the boardwalk that Bonin pushed the St. Joseph Center people in there to be, more certain about getting people off the boardwalk and into some kind of housing.
That sewer had festered for 3 years and nobody did anything about it. And when the sheriff showed up with his deputies and they started talking to the homeless.
And the media was showing up to cover him doing that.
Oh, but it was like worldwide coverage.
Yeah.
And then Bonin and Garcetti panicked. And then they bought this Volusia into St. Joseph's into the mix.
But they had been around for years, as you heard Mark say, right? But suddenly, you know, they got the word to really, and Mark said, there was a stand down during the pandemic, although the homeless problems had been around longer than that. But it was like, all right, well, don't stand down so much now and get some of those people off the boardwalk because this looks bad for us.
You know,
and then Bonner, remember, he did a victory lap over it, like, I'm behind this all along.
Because he's a shameless liar. So this Felicia Adams Kellum is now going to run LASA. And I just got to read you one line from Mark Rajevic's letter to the LA Times. And she said, she has failed to comply with a city mandated requirement to clean the streets and alleys around her building. Around her building that are frequently littered with human feces, used syringes, mattresses, trash, and food waste left by the homeless that are drawn to her facilities. So her offices are a magnet for the homeless. And they leave behind the feces and syringes and mattresses and garbage, and she doesn't do anything to clean it. She sits in, I suppose, a nice office, has a six-figure salary, and just, I guess, looks
still
out
the wade through that to get there, right? The feces and the needles. You got to walk into the building. You think that would...
Isn't it amazing? I used to think about that at City Hall, right? There's a huge number of homeless people in the streets around City Hall, and all the workers have to go by there every day, and that doesn't motivate the city to do anything about it in their own neighborhood. And that's why this is a sickness. This is beyond description, beyond debate. These officials are sick, and they're also making a lot of money.
Yeah, they're taking in many millions at that St. Joseph Center.
$430,000 this woman's going to get running LASA. $430,000.
And we talked about this story last year. They wanted to disband LASA. Now suddenly there's a renewed energy to continue on with this bureaucracy. Ridiculous.
By the way, this is the fourth leader they've had in the last couple of years. She replaces Stephen Simon, who is serving as an interim head, who replaced Heidi Marston, who resigned, had a conflict with the board.
She was a load.
Yeah, she was a waste of time. And she replaced a guy, Peter something, who quit a couple of years ago and announced, hey, I'm great, I hired thousands of do-nothings.
Right. Homelessness got bigger, but I hired a lot of people, and I'm proud of that.
So even with a good six-figure salary, people flee from this job and accomplish nothing.
Now, in another place where homelessness is a problem, there are so many cities in California where it is, San Diego has, of course, a big homeless problem, too. And they're going to try something unique. I don't know what I think about this, but they want to lift a near 50-year-old ban in California on pay toilets. And you know what's happened with a lot of places, I'm sure you're familiar with this, where there's just too many homeless people around. A lot of businesses keep it locked. You have to have a combination or some sort of key from the front desk to get into the bathrooms.
It's a pain in the neck, you know. You can't even go into like a CVS or a Starbucks.
Yeah.
Because
they got to keep it locked up because the homeless will hang out in there, use drugs and poop.
You got to stand in a long line just to get a code, or you got to buy something.
They claim that with the money, they could install and operate secure and well-lighted restrooms around downtown and in some neighborhoods if they can cover the cost by charging people a nominal fee. And, of course, right away, the backlash. It's inhumane to charge homeless people the right to use a restroom. They'll just poop in the streets. Well, they do that anyway, don't they?
They poop in the streets because they're mentally ill and on drugs. So whether you have a toilet or not, or you charge them or not, doesn't matter. They're still going to poop in the street because their brains are fried.
I didn't even know. I guess I didn't follow that California outlawed pay toilets a long time ago. They were common in many places in the
country.
But
they were cheap usually. It was like a dime or a quarter.
Today, it's probably a dollar. No, I don't know. I don't know what the fee would be.
I'm not going to pay a dollar to pee.
How much is it worth to you to empty your bladder?
Just do like everybody else does. You know, go in the street. What does it matter?
Oh, yeah, it says pay toilets are still common in European cities. And New York City has 5 pay toilets now operating.
5?
Yeah, well, apparently the state had to exempt the city, and they're trying it out with 5 pay toilets.
That's 8 million people in that city. They got 5?
It costs $30,000 a month to operate portable toilets with security and lighting. Security. Well,
they're not going to make enough money from toilets to cover that cost.
I doubt it. All right, we got more coming up. John and Ken, KFI AM 640, live everywhere, the iHeartRadio app. We will update you completely on the shootings, Monterey Park, and, of course, the one from last night in Half Moon Bay. Alex Stone, ABC News for KFI, will join us right after the news at 3 o'clock. A quick reminder that the iHeartRadio app is a way to connect to the Moist line, also to check out our podcast. Use the microphone icon in order to leave a message for the Moist line, which is coming up in 3 days. And, of course, the toll-free number is 1-877-MOIST-86, 1-877-664-7886. Well, we haven't talked about Antifa in a while, standing for what, anti-fascist? Is that what's supposed to be the origins of that acronym?
Which is an ironic name for this organization, because they are the definition of fascists.
Now, there are some on the other side who will say, oh, they don't really exist. That's a figment of the right-wing movement's imagination.
Those people are lying because we saw the damage they did in Portland, for example. They had 6 months of rioting. They burned a federal building. So you got to do something better. You can't just do, it doesn't exist. It's like, yeah, I watched it every night in the news, so stuff it.
But do they have a headquarters and a logo and a letterhead and a...
No.
Do they have a board that meets?
No,
do they have a...
They have an internet.
Yeah, it's social media.
Yeah, so when it's time to go and invade a city, they just have to send texts to each other.
On January 18th, a man by the name of Manuel Esteban Paez Terran from Florida shot and severely injured a Georgia State Patrol trooper. This was another one of these Occupy thing called, remember the autonomous zones?
Mm-hmm.
He was eventually killed by return fire from police. Apparently this group... this story says they've been in there 18 months in this Occupy. They wanted to stop the construction of a future Atlanta Public Safety Training Center.
They're going to train cops
there.
Now you can
guess why. Training cops. Claiming that it was some sort of protected forest land. That was their cover story.
You're right.
But they called it Stop Cop City. Well, apparently it eventually resulted in this exchange of gunfire. And since this man was killed... a group of Antifa activists went nuts in Atlanta recently and started setting fires and creating chaos and breaking windows. And 6 who were arrested are in the spotlight because you could probably guess what their backgrounds are.
It's all rich kids.
They're white rich kids.
It's like some of the homeless activists around here that all the city council people and the mayor are terrified of. They're the sons and daughters of the wealthy. One of the leading homeless activists in Echo Park Lake is the son of some rich Hollywood guy.
I remember that night when they were there trying to stop the removal of the homeless and their possessions. It was a bunch of young-looking, rich white kids that were just screaming.
And they drive around in expensive cars. Some of them still live with their parents.
So one of the people arrested is Francis Carroll. He was already out on bail for a domestic terrorism arrest at the Atlanta Autonomous Zone last month. He's the son of a yacht-sailing multi-million-dollar family and comes from the Maine city of Kennebunkport. If you remember Kennebunkport, Maine, that's where George W. Bush liked to hang out. That was a big Bush family place to go. He lived in his parents' mansion before going to Atlanta. He's one of the 6 people that was arrested for this string of property attacks, carjackings, assaults on officers. Of course, they've been bailed out.
Parents bail them out immediately.
The next person to spotlight is Madeline, in quotation marks, Henry Fiola, who apparently identifies as non-binary.
Yeah.
The non-binary person in the picture appears to have some breasts and then hairy underarms. But anyway.
Yeah, she's really showing off her armpits there. And has she drawn a mustache under her nose?
Yeah, I think that's what...
It looks like it's penciled in.
It's they, not she.
Right.
They studied archaeological stuff at Oberlin College with a focus on decolonization. They're from a wealthy Portland, Oregon suburb.
Oberlin College is one of the most left-wing colleges on the planet.
Oh, it is?
Yeah, they're the ones who got sued because they started a big ruckus against a bakery that I think they wouldn't do a wedding cake for a gay couple, something like that. And so they ended up getting sued, and they lost the suit and had to pay millions of dollars to the estate, Oberlin College.
The next person is Emily Catherine Murphy.
We got to look at her here.
A middle-class vegan activist.
Yeah. She used to serve as the chair for the Chicago chapter of Al Gore's Climate Reality Project. Here's her quote.
Eco-ideology.
What the hell that is. Here's her quote. I've been vegan 5.5 years now. And no matter how much explaining I do, my own family still doesn't fully understand what being vegan means.
Ivan James Ferguson, a 23-year-old award-winning classically trained clarinetist from Nevada. And by the way, the point is they all came from all over the country and descended on Atlanta to create this mayhem. Studied at the prestigious San Francisco Conservatory of Music. He regularly performed in concerts in California and Nevada. This is your six people who have been charged in Atlanta with domestic terrorism, felony interference with government property, felony first-degree arson, felony second-degree criminal damage, riot, unlawful assembly, and willful destruction of a law enforcement officer and pedestrian in a roadway.
They got a few other arrests from wealthy children of wealthy parents. Teresa Yu Shen graduated from Barnard College. That's one of those exclusive liberal arts colleges back east. Abigail Skapyak.
Skapyak.
I love that name. Former Justice Department intern. Mariana Hoyt Lang, a violinist, graduated from NYU.
Musician, yeah.
Madeline Kodat of Philadelphia, daughter of the former provost and dean of faculty at Lawrence University.
Another one with like a male name in parentheses, Matthias. I wonder if this is another one that wants to be non-binary and have like two names.
I don't know. It seems to come as a package.
This is who's out there, and you thought these people went away. They did not.
No.
And we talked yesterday about what happened in Boston when a U.S. congresswoman's non-binary child got involved in some mayhem.
Yeah, I don't understand why people's sexuality or their eating habits.
They're rebelling against a lot of things. Obviously, our capitalist, racist society, but also the way that we put people into categories of gender. They don't like that.
Right. So they create their own categories.
They do. Yeah. And then they burn things sometimes. And
how come we have another violent vegan? This keeps coming up in the news.
I really couldn't tell you.
Do you know how scared I am every day?
But that's another form of rebellion because they don't like, I could add meat-eating capitalist racist society.
I keep it quiet. Only when you guys egg me on. I don't really talk about it in my everyday life.
You rooted for the pig who killed the poor butcher.
Well, yes, but that's on the air.
See, that's a form of violence and activism there.
No, it is not because I root for the pig who's getting tased and about to be slaughtered.
Yeah, but the guy died.
Okay, but it wasn't the fault of the pig.
All right, we got more coming up. John and Ken, KFI, AM 640, live everywhere, the iHeartRadio app.
I always wonder what people think when they tune in the middle of that.
Yeah, really.
They were all psychos.
Especially if it's the first time they're listening. On 1 to 4 every day, and after 4 o'clock, the podcast on the iHeartRadio app. You got to type in John and Ken on demand.
All right, after 3 o'clock, we'll check in on the shooting that occurred up in Half Moon Bay. Another angry, older Asian male, 66 years old. Took his gun and killed what appears to be a number of co-workers. So Alex Stone will have all the details after the news at 3 o'clock on the story. And we got a couple of nuggets to tell you about concerning the Monterey Park mass shooting that occurred late Saturday night. From the climate world, Bloomberg Business Week had a headline recently: wind turbines taller than the Statue of Liberty are falling over. Oh, boy. On a calm, sunny day last June, Mike Willie was feeding his cattle when he got a call from a local sheriff's dispatcher. A motorist reported that one of the huge turbines at a nearby wind farm collapsed in dramatic fashion. Wiley is chief of the volunteer fire department in Ames, 90 miles northwest of Oklahoma City. He went out to take a look at the scene. The steel tower, which stood hundreds of feet tall, was buckled in half, and the turbine blades, whose rotation took the machine higher than the Statue of Liberty, were splayed across the wheat field below.
Boy, you don't want to be standing under that, huh?
The turbine made by GE had been in operation less than a year. What? What was that, like cheap construction or?
Well, you would think with GE, right?
You would think it would last.
Another GE turbine, same model, collapsed in Colorado a few days later. And the owner-operator of that wind farm said it was a blade flaw.
Well, you don't want to be anywhere near these turbines if they're falling over. Imagine that chopping into shreds.
It says to develop meaningful amounts of power, the blades on the turbine have to be big. And when big blades spin in heavy winds, the tips can end up hitting supersonic speeds, putting great stress on the materials that are used to construct them. Big blades require tall towers, which are subject to stress as the winds blow and can gust during storms to velocities that test the strength of the materials and the design of the towers. So the energy that they're trying to harness is so strong, it can destroy the wind turbine itself.
No. Well, that's something that ought to be corrected. Of course, this article also points out that it takes a lot of construction materials to make these towers, which is a considerable carbon footprint. Compared to the amount of carbon-free electricity generated, the carbon emitted in manufacturing construction of the towers may take years to counterbalance. And then, of course, if they don't last that long, that makes the story even worse, doesn't it?
Right. It means that they're putting out climate-warming gases in excess of the gases that they're saving by creating wind energy.
Yeah.
Not to mention all the copper that they have to mine and refine.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Looks like wind farms' longevity is going to be an issue. The unpredictable nature of winds, with the speed and direction changing abruptly, means that complex transmission boxes must be attached to each turbine. And these transmission boxes are stressed when high winds occur and suddenly change direction. And they need maintenance crews at the ready. Wow. I didn't realize you'd have to keep an eye on these huge wind structures.
Because the transmission boxes regularly explode when the gusts of wind overstress them. And they create their own mini environmental disasters from the transmission fluid spewed on the ground.
They then pointed out that, of course, the big problem here is all of this is unreliable. When the wind don't blow, you get no electricity.
Yes.
And because I think you know they sold a bunch of licenses for offshore wind structures off of the California coast.
I know.
There's high winds out over the ocean, but boy, if they collapse like this,
they got to anchor them in the ocean bed.
Yeah.
It's going to take many years before they erect those. And nobody really knows if it's going to work in terms of the stability.
And of course, we've talked about this many times before. There are millions of birds who are killed every year by the windmills.
Including the bald eagles.
Yeah, they get sucked in.
And sliced up.
And what was the other one? Some of them get burnt? Is that those solar panels?
The solar panels, yeah.
Those massively large solar panels. Well, it gets really hot there, and the birds just kind of fly right in. And
incinerate in the sky. You just hear a little sound.
Wow.
And they turn into dust.
Oh, I was going to say, so if you're down there, you don't get a cooked bird you can catch?
See, now that's making her laugh.
I'm not laughing. I'm pondering.
Okay.
Yeah, I heard a noise. It didn't sound like a laugh. But
you can
see her face, you see. She can hide behind the radio.
I think she was trying to suppress a laugh.
No, I'm going to laugh at these. Come on. I'm not laughing at these birds being killed.
Incinerated.
Incinerated.
It's a great word. Incinerated.
It makes a little sound, too.
I know. You like going poof.
It does make some sort of a quick, yeah, poof, zap. Were you even bothered by people that have those bug zapper things like on their porch where the bugs go in and you hear because they've just been electrocuted or something? Or did that bother you too, really?
I haven't really thought about it, but I don't love insects, but I do try to save them when I can, depending on the insect. You know, I try not to murder them, but I hate flies, so I can't be a hypocrite. So insects.
Yeah. Gotta be tough getting through the day.
Why?
Well, there's a lot of natural animal death going around.
I know.
You're going to get upset over insects.
Then. Well, I try not to. They're down at the very bottom of my animal hierarchy.
You had no problem committing that genocide against the ants that were in your house.
I told you I hate ants.
Yeah, I know.
You can call me a hypocrite. That's fine.
All right, straight ahead, Alex Stone will be here to talk about the latest mass shooting just occurring yesterday up in Half Moon Bay. John and Ken, KFI, AM 640, live everywhere, the iHeartRadio app.
Deborah Mark, live in the 24-hour KFI newsroom.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With every CBD product claiming to do something different, it's nearly impossible to decide what's best for you. Lazarus Naturals pioneered the farm-to-front-door model of transparency where they handle each step of the production process to ensure quality, potency, and consistency. Scannable labels allow you to see the test results of your hemp batch so you can be confident in the safety and quality. Visit LazarusNaturals.com today. Lazarus Naturals, committed to improving your life as well as the world around you. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Nobody wants to outlive their money, but it happens, especially for women. That's why Gainbridge offers the Parity Flex annuity, designed for women's unique retirement needs, with flexible withdrawals plus a guaranteed lifetime income benefit that keeps paying you even if your account balance is zero. Gainbridge is helping build a better financial future for women. Retirement income you can't outlive is the ultimate flex. Start saving now at Gainbridge.io. Visit Gainbridge.io/ParityFlex for current rates, full product disclosures and disclaimers, and other important information.